and you're listening to It's All About Food. And we are about to be in our second part of today's show, and I'm going to bring on Lois Dieterle, who is a former baker and currently elementary school teacher living outside in Reading, Pennsylvania with her family. And her book, Sinfully Vegan, has recently been re-released with new recipes, and we're going to talk about that right now. Lois, welcome to It's All About Food.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Okay. Well, you know, there's lots of reasons to eat plant foods, and I don't know if you heard of any of the earlier part of the show, but a lot of it can be really overwhelming when we think about what's going on with animal agriculture today and its impact on the environment. And sometimes, you know, it's so overwhelming, I don't want to think about it. And the good news is we can think about all kinds of luscious, delicious plant-based treats.
Absolutely.
And save the planet at the same time.
You know, people say to me, I couldn't be vegan. I like my food to taste good. And they're just so wrong. They don't know how wrong that they are, that I found so many delicious things to eat that are safe for the environment and much healthier for your body.
Well, this is what I like talking about most. I love talking about food, and I love talking about the real gooey, delicious food.
Good stuff.
Now, your book's called Sinfully Vegan, and I don't think it's a sin to eat this food at all.
No, it's not, but it looks sinful, so we call it that.
Right. Well, a lot of people like to think they're doing something wrong.
Right. I'm a vegan with a sweet tooth, and I didn't want to give it up. And frankly, when I first started being vegan, which was about 15 years ago, the baked goods were just starting to come out. People were experimenting, and there definitely wasn't much commercially, which is why I came out with this book, just to help share my what I learned so that other people could eat it too, because I like sweets.
Well, I'm always talking about people getting back into the kitchen, and it's to make anything, the savory foods or the sweet foods. It's so important to know what's in your food and know how to make it. And especially if you've got kids, they love making things in the kitchen.
Right. And I think going back to your last show, I was listening to that, and I'm interested in E. Colin Campbell's work, and the one thing that stuck with me is that he said, eat as close to nature as possible, and that's why people do have to get back into the kitchen. It's okay to eat sweets, but make it yourself so it doesn't have all that funny stuff in that you can't pronounce.
People have no idea what's in their food. Right. And there are so many wonderful recipes in your book, and they're made with ingredients that people know how to pronounce. They know what they are. They're recognized from plant sources. And, gosh, it's scary sometimes when you read a loaf of bread or a cookie.
Absolutely.
And if you can read the letters, because a lot of people have problems seeing small print today.
Right. Well, that's why I get a magnifying glass out. I don't need anything that I don't read the ingredients on.
But I'm just hydrogenated oils. You talk about oil a bit in your book, and you do it in a language that people can understand, which is very important. You know, we don't have to be rocket science to understand how to eat healthfully.
Right. But it is confusing. So I try to explain it on a level, like you said, that people can understand, because I'm just, you know, an average person that so I explained it that way to the average person picking up a cookbook. This is what it means to you. So you know how to eat healthfully, because there are so many oils out there, and not all of them are bad. I think we threw the baby out with the bathwater with this fat-free stuff, and that's not healthy either.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a believer in eating foods that are minimally processed or minimally refined. So personally, I like to get my fats from raw nuts and seeds, avocado, whole coconut. And then occasionally when I have a treat, I will use earth balanced margarine or olive oil, some simple organic oils. I don't eat a lot of them, but if I'm having a treat, I want it to taste good.
Right, and be healthy. I mean, that's what I try to say in this book. These are still desserts, so you can't eat them with abandon, but they are much healthier, but they're a treat.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to talk about, there's a lot of recipes in here, and there's certainly lots that would satisfy a lot of different tastes, but a few that I found interesting or amusing, you have the banana cannoli.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that?
Sure, Ken, that's one of my new ones. I was kind of flirting with some of the almost raw food type thing. I do not, I don't know a lot about raw foods, but that's where this inspiration came from. And I do like cannolis, the idea of that. So that's where that came from. And I had been playing around with avocado and discovered how it makes such a creamy base. So I was playing with that. The chocolate has a strong flavor to go with that. So it makes, avocado makes a wonderful base for a whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
So it has that chocolate avocado cream on the inside of it, and then the shell is just simply dehydrated bananas. So it's very simple, and it's much healthier than a regular cannoli, and I found it absolutely delicious, and I've, all my tasters, it's just very different, easy, and delicious.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet, but I am definitely going to check that one out. I just love the whole idea of it, and I haven't seen anything like it.
It's different. I said that my daughter lives in California, so I get a little bit of the West Coast ideas from her, so we sit down and we brainstorm, and she's a foodie also. talk food, and she's very much into the health and things, but she gets that whole different mindset from California. There are, is much more of a raw food influence, the Tex-Mex or the Mexican food, or well, her husband's from Texas, that's where the Tex-Mex comes from, but a whole different idea. So that's where, you know, we were just spinning a whole lot of things around, and that's where it came from.
Now, you're currently an elementary school teacher.
Yes, I am.
And what grades, what ages do you teach?
Sixth. Intermediate.
Okay, uh-huh. That's a very interesting age.
It is an interesting age. And I'm not in the classroom anymore. I'm a math remediation person, but I used to love being in the classroom because I would teach nutrition, and I would introduce the students to a more plant-based diet. When we had parties, we would make food together, healthy, dessert, snacky things like fruit salad, and put it in an ice cream cone with coconut sprinkled on top or something. So it was a fun food, and that's where some of the things came from in the chapter, not just for kids,
mm-hmm.
that are kind of fun kinds of treats, but I like them too.
Right. Did you, when you were making these treats with the kids, were you explaining why you were not using dairy and eggs?
Absolutely.
And,
they really knew where I was coming from and tried to understand it. They were very much, this was new to them, and they were very curious, as kids will be at that age.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of nice dialogues about that, and they were very eager to try things. That age child likes to try new things, and they were open.
Did any of them go home to their parents and say, I don't want to eat these foods anymore?
The foods that
like
the parents had?
Like meat and milk and eggs. And
some of them told me that they did.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes
I don't know. I didn't have any parents coming into me, you know, one way or the other, but some of them had announced that they were going to stop doing that and that they loved eating it this way. I did actually have some parents come in and years later, and they said they remembered when I had done some of those things and that they did like that. Now, whether or not it changed their idea or their way of living, I don't know, but I hope I opened their eyes that they're willing now to explore it.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of the problems today with food in schools is, okay, the food that we have is just horrific, refined, and too much sugar, and the wrong fats, et cetera. And a lot of people bring food into the classroom. And more kids now are sensitive to wheat and peanuts, and there are just so many more allergies coming around. I'm not sure when you were a teacher if you were exposed to any of this, but
Yes.
How do you handle that?
It's a difficult problem, and I think schools are starting to change now and not allowing as many foods to be brought in, and we don't have at our school peanut butter anymore because of some of the allergies, and it's a difficult problem because of all the sensitivities.
Yeah, but they're not all the same. There are so many different ones. Yeah.
Right, but schools really have to, in my opinion, start addressing the healthy foods. I know I had an issue with my school that, and I did address it. I had written a 7-page letter to them because they were talking about healthy breakfast, but they were giving the kids French toast sticks and fruity flavored cereal with fruit drink on it. And, you know, well, the kids would pour the fruit drink on it, but I mean, it just was not a healthy breakfast. So either give them a healthy breakfast or at least don't call it a healthy breakfast. So, because we're in the position of being educators, and we have to set an example and help kids. You know,
right.
This is where they learn.
Yep. I got a little distracted here because I was looking at your orange creamsicle smoothie.
And,
when I was a kid, I used to really love those creamsicles, those
yep.
frozen pops with the orange sherbet coating and the vanilla ice cream inside.
I love them. That's where that came from. I love that.
And so I'm looking at this, and it's so simple. It's just crushed ice, orange juice, vanilla vegan milk, and vanilla extract. And I'm thinking not only would it be a great shake, but you could probably put it in those molds and make a nice
mm-hmm.
frozen pop with it.
The freeze pop. Yes, I do have a section on some freeze pops, but any of the smoothies you could freeze as well. But I have some that have just the fruit purees and then a little bit of a tofu cream, because I like a cream swirl through it, which you can or you don't have to do. But I just love those in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. I don't drink a lot of orange juice because it doesn't feel, I get a little sensitive, but
mm-hmm.
I think if I made it like this and just sipped slowly on it, I think I'm going to try that very, very
mm-hmm.
soon.
One of my favorite recipes in here that I have all the time at this time of year, because you can get the organic cherries and they're not too outrageously expensive, is the chocolate cherry ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It's the frozen bananas, frozen cherries, and just a little bit of water and cocoa, and you just spin that up in a food processor, and I love it. And then I put chopped up almonds on it as well, because I like crunch in my ice cream. But such a treat. It's like a soft serve ice cream.
Well, the amazing thing is, not all of the recipes here, but many of them have just a handful of ingredients. They're really simple to make. Some are a little more involved, the Boston
right.
cream pie and some other things. But
right.
most of them are really easy and just amazingly good, and I always like to encourage people to have these things because they can be healthy and they really satisfy those crazy sweet cravings that we have, and there's really no need to have all that junk that's out there.
Right, absolutely. I mean, my recipes run the gamut from very simple and very healthy to more the fancier ones, and some that they're still vegan, but they're not quite as healthy, you know, with the ingredients that are in them. But it's to satisfy everything. Some are definitely a treat. Others you can eat every day, and it doesn't really matter. So it's trying to satisfy everyone. And
what's it like? What's it like being vegan in Reading, Pennsylvania? I haven't been there in a very long time. I went to college in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, and I had some friends that were from Reading, and that was a long time ago, and I remember Reading not being as sophisticated as, let's say, New York City.
Well, it's the middle of Pennsylvania Dutch country,
yeah.
Pennsylvania German. So, you know, that's the meat and potatoes and lard and the pie crust and that type of thing. So I tend not to use the word vegan here. I just tell people I do not eat any kind of animal product, and I have severe dairy allergies,
mm-hmm.
the way I explain it,
right.
when I, you know, the times that I do eat out, so that I get people to take me seriously. So it is definitely a challenge to eat out here.
Yeah, so they're still doing the lard and the pie crust.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry to hear that. I thought lard went out a long time ago. Oh,
no,
well.
It's the farmers markets and all that. It's, you know, that's the way it's done.
Right. What about organic food? Is there a...
That's starting to be more available. There are some places at the farmers market that do deal in organic, so that's getting a lot easier. And some of the larger grocery stores are carrying a better supply of the organic food, so that is getting much easier to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is important. It's just much less stress on your body, I feel, when you eat organic.
Right. Well, on your body and also in the environment, there's a lot of farming in Pennsylvania. And,
yes, there is.
And with the herbicides and pesticides, it gets into the soil, it gets into the water, and then it gets into our bodies.
Right, right. It's like dominoes. So it's
mm-hmm.
something that we really should start getting away from. And I'm glad to see that there is a much bigger interest in the organic gardening, farming, and that kind of thing here in Pennsylvania.
Well, I want to tell you, I live in New York City, and I was in, what book? I think it was a Barnes & Noble just the other day, and I saw your book.
Okay.
So that I like to see
great.
these books
exciting.
Like that in major cities and everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
What's exciting nowadays is most of the big bookstores, if they're still in business, have actual vegetarian and vegan book sections.
Right. They're getting larger all the time. I've been noticing as I go by and I look at them. But I think it's also interesting. I did see that my book is on my Kindle. So they are getting them out wireless as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was exciting. I don't know how many cookbooks because I didn't really look in that section, but I was looking for something else, and it came up.
So right. So do you
that's something exciting.
Are you planning any other cookbooks, or is all your great work in this one?
I don't know. I've been talking to my daughter about doing a collaboration where we would do eating healthy cheaply, so that
help
people that you
a
really
lot of people
can,
are interested in that. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You don't have to spend a lot of money, you know, because we talk about this, that how easy it is to eat healthy, eat those good vegetables, lentils, for example, and you really don't have to spend a lot of money to feed a family. So, you know, that's something that we throw around, but at this point, no firm plans.
Right. Well, it's an important topic because from a lot of angles, I mean, number one, we know that a lot of the food in the stores today, the prices are not real prices. The meat and dairy products we're not paying for all of the expense to make those foods at the cash register in the store. A lot of the money is from our tax dollars because they're highly subsidized, and so we're paying
right.
for those foods even if we're not eating them. But even still, buying beans and rice, beans and grains, they have always been the foods that many impoverished people ate, and it nourished them and kept them going
mm-hmm.
for centuries, and those foods are still very inexpensive and still very, very nutritious.
Right, and they can be delicious. You just have to know how to make them.
Absolutely.
But, you know, lentils you can make in almost no time. Quinoa, that's another one of my favorites, which is, you know, not very well known around here anyway, and I just love it. And it's so easy to do so many things with just those two things.
Yeah, I do love quinoa, and I love how easy it is, and I love how nutritious it is. My only concern is we don't really know how to grow it in this country.
I know. That is a problem. You're
yeah.
right. I think there was an area I had read somewhere out in the Midwest where they grew it.
They're trying to in Colorado.
Yeah.
That
must have been where it is. And I remember thinking that is a downfall.
Yeah. Can we grow enough quinoa for the world?
Right.
But I think, you know, if we spend time looking into that problem rather than genetically modified food and how to factory farm more efficiently, I think we could figure out how to grow more quinoa sustainably.
I know we could, and I think that would be a much better use of the brain power in this country.
All right. Anyway, I want to encourage people to check out Sinfully Vegan. There's just too many yummy recipes in here, and I want to thank you for speaking with me today on It's All About Food. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you for having me.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we just have, a couple minutes left, and I wanted to talk about a couple of things. Number one, I invite you to visit my website, responsibleeatingandliving.com. It's a brand-new nonprofit that I launched a little over a month ago, and I've got a couple of blog entries that I invite you to read. Most recently, I posted a letter I sent to Hilton Hotels. I was at one of their Hampton Inn Suites recently, and talk about their free complimentary breakfast, because although it's great when people offer all kinds of free food, and it's certainly nice when you're at a hotel to get up in the morning and have a free buffet, what's not so nice is when the food is not healthy food, when it's all refined sugary products and you can't find non-dairy milks. No soy milks. There's non-dairy creamers that are filled with hydrogenated oils. Everything has high fructose corn syrup in it. The peanut butter isn't just peanuts. It's high fructose corn syrup and other unnatural ingredients. This is when a free breakfast really isn't free. There's too many prices involved, devastation to the environment, cruelty to the animals, and this food is not healthy to eat. And so I'm hoping that Hilton takes notice to my letter, and I invite you to read it, and please do the same and write the businesses that you frequent if they're not doing things the way you think they should be. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I think this has been a really interesting show with Mia McDonald of Brighter Green and Lois Dieterle with Sinfully Vegan. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. Have a delicious week.